Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell. I'll be talking with The Athletic's Ted Wynn all about the Carson Wentz trade to the Colts and about the one former Bay Area team in the Las Vegas Raiders and the other Bay Area team that currently exists in the San Francisco 49ers and about their quarterback situations and whether they should be moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr. Ted will be talking with us about all of that in a moment. A couple things first. Before we get into this episode, I wanted to quickly remind you of another ESPN podcast. That is the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. You, of course, know Mina Kimes if you listen to the Bill Barnwell Show. But if somehow you do not, which is very strange, Mina combines her smarts with her unique brand of humor in a way that you don't want to miss. One of the best talking about the NFL each and every week. Download and subscribe to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny and, of course, the Bill Barnwell Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. But don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now, get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And here's Ted Wynn talking about the Carson Wentz trade. All right, joining me now, as promised, a guy who does incredible work for The Athletic, breaking down things, not only on a national basis, but also maybe more specifically in the Bay Area. And we're going to talk about the two Bay Area quarterbacks with him in a second. But first, obviously, with the breaking news of the Carson Wentz trade, I wanted to bring on my friend, the excellent writer for The Athletic, Mr. Ted Wynn, to talk about Carson Wentz and all that's happening here. So, Ted, first off, how are you?
I'm doing well. Not as good as Ted Cruz in Cancun, but, you know, here in California, we still have power and everything. So all good on my end.
Man, yeah, it's such a stressful situation there in Texas with the power. I hope people who, you know, if you're in Texas, hope you're doing okay. But yeah, I mean, obviously a crazy trade here. That's not true. Let me take that back. Not crazy in that I think it's unreasonable, but in an off season where it's felt like, you know, trades have been so dramatic. Like I think the Matthew Stafford trade was such like a huge deal. It's sort of strange that this deal seems to make so much sense. I mean, it felt like Carson Wentz was always supposed to be heading to the Indianapolis Colts, that Frank Reich was going to reunite with the guy who he helped coach up into an MVP season. And then it just happened. Like, you know, there was always talk about the Bears. There was talk about other teams. And then in the long run, the Colts got him for it. Seems to be a pretty fair price. But Ted, in terms of your initial feelings about this, I mean, how do you feel about the fit of Carson Wentz in Indianapolis?
I mean, I feel like it's a good trade for both sides. I mean, you know, Carson didn't want to play for Philadelphia, or they were just trying to move on from him. Who knows what was happening behind the scenes, but they were able, you know, there were some reports that he might have garnered two first round draft picks, which is kind of crazy. But I thought the compensation was great. I mean, you know, you potentially have a first round draft pick if the Colts make the playoffs, and if Wentz plays at a good enough level to where they are a playoff team, I think they happily would give a first round draft pick to the Eagles for him. And I think, yeah, if there's any coach in the league that I would trust to revive Carson Wentz, it would be Frank Wright. We've seen Wentz play his best under Frank Wright. And I think he just needs a voice that he can trust. And I think this deal worked out pretty well for both sides.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I feel like he was worth more to the Colts maybe than any other team in the league, just in terms of having Crank Reich there and having that sort of stability and that comfort level with the coach. In terms of what you saw from Wentz in 2020, I mean, it wasn't pretty. The numbers are pretty awful across the board. I don't think anybody who works for the Eagles or who covered the Eagles expected Carson Wentz to get benched late in the year for Jalen Hurts. And that happened and it felt warranted. To you, was there anything that stood out that you feel like, you know, isn't being told by the numbers when it comes to Carson Wentz's obviously frustrating 2020 season?
I think it's unprecedented to see a quarterback that has played as well as Wentz has. And I think there are some people that are looking back at his really good season and saying there were signs that he would regress, but I think he did play at a high level. Mm-hmm. And we just haven't seen this kind of drop off from a young quarterback the way with what happened with Wentz. And I think there are a ton of issues we could look at when mm-hmm. looking at the Eagles last season. And I think things just snowballed. His offensive line was really bad. I mean, when this trade happened and I knew we were going to talk about it on this pod, I just went back to watch the film mm-hmm. and, you know, the protection was terrible. I mean, yeah. Guys were getting through quickly and it was compounded by Wentz just taking these huge pocket movements. Mm-hmm. You know, they're quarterbacks that make small, subtle pocket movements like Tom Brady. But whenever Wentz feels pressure, he's moving. He's taking these huge steps up or he's rolling out right away and he's running mm-hmm. into more pressure. And then he's trying to throw a prayer ball up and it ends up being a fumble or interception. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the Eagles team did not do him a lot of favors last season, but he also was responsible for a lot of these turnovers as well. And I think there are some mechanical issues. In his rookie year, mm-hmm. there were mechanical issues and he really honed in on them and got them fixed in his second year. And that's when he really started to break through. And mm-hmm. I think some of those mechanical issues came back. And I think those are things that he has to focus on. I think he just needs to really rebuild his game. And mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a big challenge for Frank Wright, because when he had Wentz the first time, Wentz was sort of a blank slate that he could coach and build mm-hmm. on. But this time there are just a ton of bad habits that he has to go in and correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes total sense. I remember his first year, he really seemed to sail throws over the middle. It felt like he had some issues with, throwing interceptions. And we did see him pop up again with a big interception total this year. The biggest thing I noticed from him last year, the most frustrating thing maybe when it came to Wentz, was the idea that, he just wouldn't let go of the football. He would just try to extend plays. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can do that if you're Patrick Mahomes and Patrick Mahomes does it and does it very well, or Josh Allen has done it very well, but Carson doesn't have those guys' mobility, doesn't have the ability to, to separate from pass rushers, maybe the way that he did a few years ago or the way that those guys do. And he did struggle. He took a ton of sacks in those situations and didn't throw the ball away in those situations. And that really hurt the Eagles. Do you think that's something that can be coached out of a player to manage the situations better? Or do you think something like that is just innate to a quarterback and just you have to accept that he's going to try and be that guy who, you know, tries to make magic happen and extends plays, even if it does lead to fumbles and sacks and mistakes from the quarterback?
I think you can coach it out of a player, because mm-hmm. I think we've seen him play with a little more discernment mm-hmm. Before. And I think part of him trying to make too many plays was just the Eagles defense wasn't very good. He didn't have mm-hmm. a lot of help offensively. So, you know, he was pressing. I think it's difficult. It's going to be a difficult challenge to coach that out of him, but I think it's doable. And I think going to this Colts team where they have a very strong defense, they have a good offensive line, though they have to upgrade that left tackle position somehow, and they have some weapons. Mm-hmm. I think just having those factors will, you know, kind of help him have a different mindset when it comes mm-hmm. to playing quarterback. But those, you know, at the same time, those are some habits that are kind of ingrained in his game now mm-hmm. that it has to get rid of, and that's going to be a challenge. So I do think it's doable, but it's going to be on him to humble himself and really want to change his game, because some of the reports that we were reading coming from Philadelphia is, you know, he just did not want to take some of the blame for these issues. And if he comes in with that attitude, then he's not going to be able to fix those problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's very fair. And, you know, like you said, this is a guy who did grow over the course of his first 2 years in the league. He was a much better quarterback in his second season than he was in his first season, and rookies grow, of course. But like you said, you know, whether those have been entrenched or not, we'll certainly have to see. I mean, you would figure, given what Indy did last year at Phillip Rivers, who is a guy who, you know, it's different style, of course, but a guy who did play some hero ball, you know, in the fourth quarter during his final year with the Chargers, where he would throw interceptions, he'd throw 50-50 balls because he was trying to get his team back into the game. Well, we saw, because he was behind a better offensive line, because he was in a more stable situation, he didn't have to make those throws as frequently in 2020, and so his numbers improved. A guy who looked like he might have been done heading into 2020 looked pretty good. Not great every single week, but a guy who was certainly very good for the Colts a year ago. So with Carson Wentz, I mean, how much do you think the stability and the offensive line play around Carson Wentz will make those sort of adjustments and those changes easier?
Yeah, I think it's going to be easier in a sense that he won't have to try, you know, when protection does break down, and it's going to happen, he won't have to try to make two or three guys miss and, you know, try to throw a prayer ball up, you know, being surrounded by three guys. But, you know, when this offensive line does give up pressure, it'll be one guy getting through where he could take a sidestep, or he could break away from that guy and try to make a play outside the pocket that way. So I think with that better protection overall, he'll be better outside of structure. But again, I think this is all going to come down to whether he's going to be humble enough to really rebuild his game and kind of start it at zero with Frank Wright and really trust his play calling, not try to change too many plays at the line of scrimmage, takes what the defense gives him and trust his defense. I mean, he doesn't have to try to score every single play, especially with this Colts defense being as good as it is.
Yeah, absolutely. He shouldn't have to shoulder too much of the workload. In terms of Indy, I mean, I'm not sure how much you were watching Indy closely this year, but a team that does lose T.Y. Hilton to free agency, Anthony Costanzo, veteran left tackle, retires. How do you feel about this sort of core around Wentz? Do you think there's enough around him to to compete at a high level, or do you think the Colts have to add more this offseason around Wentz given the cap space they have?
Yeah, I think they have to upgrade the left tackle position for sure. I mean, there's some talk about, or just with the fans, Colts fans, about, you know, possibly moving Quentin Nelson to left tackle. So so that's an important position to upgrade either through free agency or through the draft. So as far as their weapons, I think they have some good weapons. I think they could use another number one receiver. T.Y. Hilton is a free agent, so, but he flashed a little bit towards the end of last season, and there's a possibility, even if he comes back, I still think they need to add another receiver, even though they did draft a pretty good one. I can't remember his name right now.
Michael Pittman Jr.
Yeah. Michael Pittman Jr. I thought he played well, but I still think they could add a number one through free agency. But yeah, I think just upgrading the left tackle position, adding a wide receiver should be a priority for them.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. This seems to be, according to people who would know, which, to be clear, I am not one of them, as someone I cannot pretend to be part of draft Twitter, but it is reportedly a good draft for offensive tackles. So I wonder if that led the Colts to, you know, send that higher pick in 2022 to maybe save their 2021 first rounder to draft a tackle, maybe to replace Anthony Costanzo. You know, such a interesting situation for the Eagles, right? I mean, you know, someone was tweeting angry stuff at me on Twitter today, and I just pointed out, like, imagine this time last year, if I had told you the Eagles were going to use a second round pick on Jalen Hurts and they were going to trade Carson Wentz, the guy who had helped lead them to a Super Bowl several years earlier, who everyone thought of basically as a franchise quarterback, possible MVP candidate, that he would be traded. They would eat I think $33.8 million in dead money on their cap in a reduced cap year just to get rid of Carson Wentz. That's how toxic that situation would have gotten. I mean, we can't go back and change the, you know, sort of what led to this deal, but given the circumstances of where the Eagles were, given what happened with Doug Peterson, given that it seemed like Carson Wentz wanted out of Philadelphia, I mean, do you feel like the Eagles did the right thing here? I mean, do you think they should have maybe held on to Wentz and just tried to make the situation work? Or I mean, I, what would have been the ideal scenario for the Eagles coming out of the situation?
I think this is the ideal situation. I mean, they it does suck to have to pay that much in dead cap money, but at the same time, Wentz did not have a lot of trade value with how bad of a season he had. And at the end of the day, they were able to potentially get a first round draft pick, and they were able to move on from Wentz, even though they do have to take that hit this year. But it doesn't seem like they're going to be a very competitive team this year anyways. So this is going to be a rebuilding year for them. So I think they were hoping to get a little bit more for Wentz, but they got what they could. And now they're going to start a new chapter. So I think the Eagles definitely did the right thing here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it would have been nice to get, you know, the Matthew Stafford offer. I think there was a point where they thought they could pressure some teams into making that happen. Didn't seem to be the case. Were you surprised there wasn't more interest in Wentz around the league? I mean, teams like the Patriots, Texans, the Bears, maybe most notably, all didn't make a move for Wentz, even though you'd figure they could have matched this offer and many of them could have fit Wentz onto their cap. So, I mean, were you surprised that that there was nobody else willing to match this offer, or do you think this is about as high as anybody was going to go?
I'm a little surprised. I thought that there would be a team that would just give him a straight up first round draft pick for Wentz, just because I think there's a lot of coaches that think, you know, we could fix Wentz. We've seen that ability. He has the physical ability to play at a very high level. He can get away from pressure. He kind of fits the mold of the modern quarterback. So we think we could fix him, and we'll trade a first round draft pick for him. I didn't think they were going to get a lot more than that. So I'm a little surprised that nobody offered a straight up first round draft pick, especially with how quarterback needy this league is. I thought the Bears would maybe offer a first round pick. So I'm a little surprised, but at the same time, it's not far off than what I thought he was worth.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of figured the Bears would be that team, just because you figure they are so desperate and you know, really need a first round, or really need a quarterback situation to get resolved, to kind of keep those guys in their jobs with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace into 2021. So I kind of thought they would be the team that would just offer the first round pick and get that deal done. But according to reports today, they did not even end up making a single offer for Carson Wentz. So maybe a good thing, maybe a bad thing. I think we'll see in a year. But when it comes to the Eagles side of the snap, they're left with Jalen Hurts, and they have the sixth overall pick in the 2021 draft. So let me start with this first. What were your thoughts watching Jalen Hurts this year? I know it was a small sample, only a few games at the end of the year, and dealing with, of course, the same issues you mentioned earlier with the offensive line injuries. But overall, I mean, do you have a strong opinion about Jalen Hurts after what you've seen from him so far in college and now briefly as a pro with the Eagles?
Yeah, I was not high on Jalen Wentz at all as a quarterback prospect. I thought he was a third, fourth rounder. So I thought the Eagles reached for him in the second round, but he played a lot better than I thought he was. I mean, there's still some concerning traits if you're looking at him as a long-term quarterback. And I think one thing that surprised me, I did not think that he would be this good of a runner in the league. I mean, he obviously ran for a lot of yards in Oklahoma, but I thought that his athleticism wouldn't translate as well as it has in NFL, and was really a dangerous threat on some of those run option plays. And he had a lot more anticipation than he did in Oklahoma, which I thought was a major problem. He just would not let go of the ball on time or early. He would wait till guys got open, and that's not a skill that you would see translate or get better in NFL so quickly. So I think there were some encouraging signs for Jalen Hurts, but at the same time, I don't think he blew everybody away enough for the Eagles just to be content with calling him the quarterback of the future. I think if they have a chance to upgrade, and they might have one of those, and this is a really good quarterback class, so they might have one of those top guys fall in their laps in the draft. I think you have to take one if they have opportunity.
Well, you beat me to my next question. That was exactly what I was going to ask you. Is now the Eagles sitting there with the sixth pick? I mean, do you feel like they are in a position where, even though Jalen Hurts did look better than Carson Wentz, I thought for most of his run with the Eagles last year, like if you still have a guy you love, if you see a guy who you think can be a franchise quarterback at six, do you take him? Or do you give Jalen Hurts that year as the starter and then kind of reevaluate in 2021 or 2022, excuse me?
I would take him. I mean, I think I'm kind of in the, I kind of buy the idea of getting two quarterbacks. I mean, you know, if you have two quarterbacks and you let them compete, and they're not going to lose a ton of value. I mean, you know, if your number six pick, whoever it is, maybe it's Trey Lance or something, ends up beating Jalen Hurts, and Hurts is your second string quarterback, I still think you get good value for him in a trade just based on how well he played last year and some of the promise he showed last year. I mean, I don't think you'll get a first round draft pick if that does happen, but you might be able to get a third round, fourth round draft pick. And then you have a young quarterback that you think could be your quarterback of the future. So I think just the position is so important that, you know, I think you should take a couple chances, a couple shots at getting your franchise guy, especially in this class where I think it's one of the better quarterback classes that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's really interesting now, because not only do you look at what the Eagles might do at six, but now suddenly there's all kinds of confusion here. I mean, look at the draft. The Jaguars, you figure, they're taking Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick. Jets, we don't know, but they are certainly in the in the range of taking a quarterback at two. The Dolphins, I don't think they'll take a quarterback at three, but like, you can't rule it out. It's a 0% probability. The Falcons could take a quarterback at four. With Matt Ryan getting up there in age, Matt Ryan could be on the trade block possibly. The Bengals, you figure, okay, they're not taking a quarterback at five, but they could be in the market for a possible trade down. The Eagles now seem to be in the market for a quarterback at six. The Lions could take a quarterback at seven. I know they traded for Jared Goff, but obviously they're rebuilding there. They could take their quarterback of the future at seven. The Panthers could draft a quarterback at eight. I mean, it's crazy. Like, you know, if you're a team that wants a quarterback in that top eight, if you're towards the bottom of the top eight, or if you're a team outside of the top eight that wants to trade up, like, you're going to have to go pretty high to have a good shot at getting your guy, because there could be, you know, four, five, maybe even five quarterbacks going pretty high in this year's draft. I mean, I know you said it's a good class, but like, if you're the Eagles, like, do you try and stay put, or are you trying to move up just hoping that you don't get beat to your guy?
Yeah, I think this year the price tag is going to be huge to move up within that top five. And I mean, there's also the option that maybe the Panthers offer them a huge package to move up to six in case one of the guys fall to that position too. So that has to be considered as well. I don't know how bought into they are with Jalen Hurts. But I mean, they have some interesting options for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I wonder whether the fact that the Eagles were even willing to trade Wentz tells you that they feel they have a quarterback they can take in the top six who would be a franchise guy for them. Because I do wonder if they said, we don't have a guy we like in this year's class, I wonder if they would have been more aggressive about making it work with Wentz. Because, you have to at least think about what the class is going to look like, what you're going to have a quarterback in the future. Maybe that would influence what they were going to do at the position. Maybe they would have made a different kind of trade. Maybe they would have tried to get someone like a Nick Foles back for the short term. Who knows? But, I would not be surprised if the Eagles went for a quarterback at six, or at least planning, given what's currently the situation, on the possibility of taking a quarterback at six. Now, Ted, I also want to ask you about a team that is just outside that top eight, the 12th overall spot in the 2021 NFL draft belonged to the San Francisco 49ers. And I wanted to talk to you about both teams, and I guess not in the Bay Area anymore. I shouldn't say that because one of those teams is no longer in the Bay Area, but a team that was formerly in the Bay Area a little bit in the Las Vegas Raiders. But with the San Francisco 49ers, I sort of wonder what you think about their quarterback situation. Now, let's start with Jimmy Garoppolo, because this was a lost year with this high ankle sprain. In terms of what we've heard from the Niners all along, they have said, Jimmy's our guy. He's not going anywhere. He's our quarterback heading into next year. How much do you believe that? Do you think they're really committed to Jimmy Garoppolo? And given his $25 million unguaranteed compensation due in 2021, do you think the Niners should be committed to Jimmy Garoppolo, given what they've seen over the past few years?
Yeah, I mean, I think Garoppolo definitely has his flaws, but he's also given them their best quarterback option that they have in a long time, and he's won some games. He was the starting quarterback when they went to the Super Bowl. So I think they're okay with going into the season with Garoppolo, but at the same time, I think that they are actively trying to upgrade. But I don't think that they are willing to give up a king's ransom for a quarterback unless maybe it's Deshaun Watson. So I think they're perfectly content with going into the season with Garoppolo, but at the same time, if they can upgrade, they're going to do it.
Do you feel like, if you were them, you'd be happy to go in with Garoppolo given his injury history?
I wouldn't. Given his injury history and just, I just think his ceiling is so limited. I just don't know. I just don't think he processed the game very well. And some of those crazy boneheaded interceptions, it just happens so often that I don't know if it could be coached out of him. So I think that if I were them, I would do my best to upgrade the quarterback position. This guy, I think if you pair Kyle Shanahan with a young quarterback that could potentially be a tier one type of quarterback, you're going to set yourself up for a dynasty. Yeah. But I get that they're kind of in a win now mode, and they want to go into the season with a chance to go into playoffs. And maybe they're not willing to make a dramatic move, but looking from the outside in, I would want to upgrade from Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I talked about this a little bit with Chris Long on his podcast, but I just feel like they're so well positioned to trade up because obviously the draft haul, it would be significant. I mean, you're talking about probably three first round picks to go from 12 to, you know, three if they want to get ahead of pretty much everyone besides the Jags and Jets to get a quarterback. But, you know, I just think about, you know, this roster, and they're in kind of rough cap shape. They have just a lot of guys who are free agents. Richard Sherman, Fred Warner, Trent Williams, you know, other guys on their roster who are free agents, Jason Verrett as well. And they're going to re-sign some of those guys. They'll get some deals done, but I think just this is the right time for that roster to have a valuable, cheap quarterback, where if they can get that guy and then surround him with what they already have, which is a deep roster with weapons, with a solid offensive line, you know, especially if they get Williams back, they'll have a solid offensive line. And if Western Richburg is able to return at a high level. And then, of course, the defense should be pretty much set. You're losing Robert Saleh, but you're getting Nick Bosa back. You're getting, you know, one of the better defensive lines in football when everyone's healthy. That's a Super Bowl contender to me. And, you know, I could see if they had a sure thing in Garoppolo, but I just, you know, you're paying so much money for a guy who you just can't count on to either be healthy or be great. And if he were Patrick Mahomes with an injury history, you'd say, okay, well, at least he has the upside. But, you know, he isn't even all that great when he's healthy. So I just think it makes so much sense for them to, you know, try and save, at least in terms of their cap situation on the quarterback, try and use those savings to lock in players elsewhere and then go for it over the next two or three years with that cheap quarterback and Kyle Shanahan, hopefully, you know, putting that quarterback in the best situation to succeed. I just think it makes so much sense to me. And I guess, you know, I'm not sure how closely you've looked at the quarterback class for this year's draft, but in terms of what you've seen so far, I mean, are there any of the quarterbacks who you think really stand out to you as a great fit for that style of offense with the Shanahan scheme?
Yeah, I think none of these quarterbacks really kind of, well, you know, because every people think that as long as you're mobile, then you could run the boot, and you could run the boot, then you could fit in Shanahan's offense. But people forget it. This is a hard offense to learn. Matt Ryan took a year to really get this offense down.
Sure.
You know, some could argue that Jimmy Garoppolo still doesn't really have some of the timing and quicks to work some of the quicker pass concepts in this offense as well. So I think of all the top quarterbacks, maybe Trey Lance could fit the best. But I also think that Shanahan has kind of changed what he wants in a quarterback. Kirk Cousins was kind of his ideal quarterback to fit in the system, but he's recently talked about just the benefits of having quarterbacks that can make those second reaction plays. So I think that they're not a natural fit in this offense as it is right now. But I also think that Kyle Shanahan is more than willing to make changes to his offense to fit a mobile quarterback or a different style of quarterback. And we see them do that with RG3 in Washington too. So he definitely can and is willing to do that. So again, I don't know if any of these quarterbacks are a natural fit in the system right now. Trey Lance is probably the best. But I think Kyle is willing to kind of move to that more modern style of quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And certainly, like, you know, like I said, given the pieces around him, given how effective the running game has been with, you know, pretty much anybody plugged in at running back for there, given the weapons at receiver with George Kittle, with Debo Samuel, you know, just a variety of pieces there to work with. I just feel like it makes sense. And who knows? We'll see. I mean, like I said, they've been very committed to Jimmy Garoppolo publicly, but, you know, Kyle Shanahan's a smart guy. Like, you know, he's not, I have to think he's not like totally naive to the limitations of Jimmy Garoppolo at this point. But again, we'll see. Certainly a team that we know can win a Super Bowl, or at least get to the Super Bowl, with a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. They did it 2 years ago, could make it back this year. You, of course, cover the Raiders most closely, and you watch the Raiders most closely. And I feel like this is the question I have about Las Vegas's situation, because by the numbers, just by the sheer numbers, Derek Carr is a very good NFL quarterback. He is among the league leaders in pretty much every rate stat you can find. He does not throw the ball maybe a ton, but still, you know, he's healthy. He's missed two games, I believe, over his entire career. Now, granted, the timing hasn't always been the best for when he's been less than 100% or banged up, but a guy who has been, you know, pretty sturdy at quarterback, doesn't turn the ball over a ton. You know, pretty much just everything you would want. And yet every year we have conversations about, well, this is the year that John Gruden is going to make a big move at quarterback. And, you know, he's going to trade for somebody, or he's going to draft a quarterback in the first round. They're going to trade up. Last year, of course, it was bringing in Marcus Mariota, which, you know, obviously didn't make a big impact. He barely played for most of the season. Before we get to the idea of what the Raiders are going to do with Derek Carr, let me just start with this. Why do you think people are constantly trying to move on from Derek Carr when it comes to their evaluations of the Las Vegas Raiders?
I think Derek Carr kind of represents that, that old breed of quarterback that teams are moving away from, the pocket passer, the guy who wins with their mind and changing plays at the line of scrimmage and all that. And he, you know, sometimes he's not very exciting. And I think in his first couple years with Gruden, I think there were definitely times where Gruden wanted him to be more aggressive, wanted him to use his legs more. And he's talked about that publicly. And he's talked about working with Carr on improving those issues. So I think in his first two off seasons, I think there's definitely some dissatisfaction with Carr, but I think this season he's really made a lot of improvements in his aggression, his willingness to throw the ball deep, and his accuracy throwing the ball deep, and also making second reaction plays. I don't think that'll ever be a huge part of his game, but I thought he made some big leaps in that area this year. So I think this season, I think this offseason, they're a lot happier with Derek Carr and a lot more content to call him their quarterback the future. Also, his price tag is extremely, really friendly too. But there were definitely signs in the past couple off seasons that they were willing to move on from Derek Carr and maybe find a more exciting replacement that could play out of structure. I mean, look at the contract they gave Marcus Mariota. That wasn't just for him to be a backup. Mm-hmm. He was there just in case Carr couldn't make those improvements or looked mediocre again, that they would have an option to go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, right? Because you sort of sit there and say, okay, well, Derek Carr can't do this. And then he does it. I mean, he's never going to be, Mahomes. He's never going to be Josh Allen when it comes to his mobility. But like, this is a guy who heading into last year was, he can't throw deep. And I mean, that Chiefs game, they won that game in part because he was making big plays downfield. He was hitting those chunk throws. And, even if it's not his game on a week-to-week basis, we know he has the ability to do that when the situation calls for it. Do you think this Raiders offense would be significantly better if they did go out and get a different quarterback like a Mariota? Or maybe they have Mariota, but like in terms of, if they had a quarterback with more mobility, do you think this offense would be better than it is right now?
No, I don't think so. It's kind of perplexing because Gruden's offense is really complicated. It's a really high volume offense. He puts a ton into his game plan from week to week, and you need a smart quarterback to be able to handle that. I do think Carr is one of the more intelligent quarterbacks in the mm-hmm. league. Gruden is kind of two-faced in this because he wants a quarterback that can handle a lot mentally, but at the same time, he also talks about wanting a quarterback that can make more second reaction plays. And I don't think you're going to find, you'd be able to get one of those quarterbacks in free agency. Or maybe you could do it through a trade if you trade for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, but those are very unlikely trade options. If you're going to go with the rookie, then you definitely can't, he cannot put as much into a weekly game plan as he does with a rookie quarterback that he does with Carr. So I think you have to kind of pick one or the other. And right now Carr is able to do that. And he's shown that he can do that at a very high level. So I think right now he's happy with what he has in Carr. I think the only way they upgrade is if they could swing a trade for Deshaun Watson. And right now he's not on the trading block. And, if he does eventually get on the trading block, it's going to take obviously a lot to trade for him. So I think Gruden is interested in having a more mobile quarterback, and he sees these guys make plays on a week. He sees Mahomes goes out and makes these crazy second reaction plays, and it's very tempting for him to want that type of quarterback. But at the same time, I think if he has that type of quarterback and he can't handle what he wants mentally, he's going to be pretty frustrated as well. And it's kind of a Gruden thing just to be just never to be really content with the talent you have and kind of complaining about it too.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I mean, I think looking through his time at Tampa, I think the phrase I used was like a wandering eye. Like he always has a quarterback he's interested in. In terms of the Raiders though, like when we think about, okay, well, why did the Raiders miss the playoffs? Why are they not a playoff caliber team with a quarterback whose numbers are as good as Derek Carr? I look a little deeper, and I don't have to look that much deeper. And having watched this team regularly last year, I mean, they are 14th in offensive DVOA. They were 28th in defensive DVOA. I mean, this is a team that has had a disastrous defense. They fired a defensive coordinator late in the season last year. Obviously have made tons of investments in terms of first round picks, in terms of free agents, and their moves have not worked. So when we think about the Raiders, I guess I wonder, why do you think we have so many conversations about replacing Derek Carr and so few conversations, at least on a national level, about fixing what has been one of the league's worst defenses under Gruden's tenure with the team.
Yeah, I think it's just easy to blame everything on the quarterback. But I agree with you. I think the Raiders defense has not been good in, I don't even remember the last time the Raiders had an even average defense. It's been a long time, and they just keep missing in free agency. Malik Collins was supposed to be the guy that changes the defense. Gruden calls him the key to the defense, and he was a non-factor. They can't get any pass rush. A lot of defenders were saying the defense was too complicated under Gunther. And they invested a lot of early picks in that secondary, and it just hasn't panned out. I think Trayvon Mullen can be a pretty good number two corner. David Arnett flashed a little bit, but he couldn't stay in the field. So I think the hope with Gus Bradley is they're trying to simplify the defense, and Bradley's bringing over some coaches that has coached with them for over 5 years, and they're hoping they could develop some of the young talent under Bradley. But I agree with you. I think this defense needs to get addressed, and the offense is fine where it is. I think some fans are wanting this offense to be a consistent top five type of offense. Mm-hmm. But they're just not going to go anywhere when the defense is this bad.
So if you were given the option, let's say the Texans call Raiders general manager Ted Wynn, let's say Mike Mayock is going back to NFL Network. Ted Wynn has taken over as Raiders general manager, and Nick Caserio calls you and says, "Hey, Ted, I am ready to deal you to Deshaun Watson for your next 4 first round picks. So you can't use those first round picks to address the defense. You're probably going to upset Derek Carr pretty good. He's not going to be too thrilled about this decision you've made." But would you make that move and just say, "Okay, we're going to try and score 40 points a game on offense, and Deshaun Watson is so good that even if our defense is bad, we're still going to win a ton of football games"?
As an offensive guy and a guy that just loves Deshaun Watson's game, I would take that trade in a heartbeat. And
there
I would
go.
Because you could trade Derek Carr for at least 1 first round draft pick. I mean, with that contract and the way he's played, you could get a first round draft pick back. So you would, and maybe a few other lower round draft picks too. The price tag really would be 3 first round draft picks. And I would definitely do that.
I suspected that as an offensive minded evaluator, you would head in that direction. I would agree with you.
Even though I just harped on fixing the defense for a few minutes, I would be too tempted at having Deshaun Watson in a John Gruden offense.
Best way to fix the defense, just to score 40 every week. So you give up 35 a week if you score 40. So I agree. And that's not to disrespect Derek Carr. And I wouldn't be making a move for anyone less than Deshaun Watson in terms of, his talent level and the skill level. Like, I wouldn't be making a lateral move. I don't think it makes sense for them to, trade for a really high pick and go after a rookie quarterback. I think they are, given their current situation, I would address the defense. But Deshaun Watson comes into play, everything is up for grabs there. And that would be the case for a lot of NFL teams when it comes to possibly trading for Deshaun Watson. Ted, in terms of the Gruden era, we'll finish up with this. John Gruden is on a 10-year contract. He is locked in there in Las Vegas. Next year, hopefully fans in their new stadium for the first time. Gruden has been improving, 4-12 in his first year after taking over for Jack Del Rio as they were rebuilding the roster, 7-9 year 2, 8-8 year 3. I don't think Gruden's in danger of getting fired or anything. I think that they are pretty committed to him in the long term. But in terms of 2021, like what would qualify as a successful season for the Las Vegas Raiders?
I think they have to make the playoffs. I mean, they were in the hunt late in the season 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And going into Gruden's fourth year. Yeah, going into Gruden's fourth year, I think they have to make the playoffs for it to be a successful season. And if they don't make the playoffs, I think that's when you could say that Gruden's bum is getting a little warm, and they might have to think about replacing him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you just can't be paid that much money and be out of the playoffs 4 years in a row.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, I think if they don't make it next year, I think that's the point where it would start being a concern. But big year coming up for the I keep saying the Oakland Raiders, excuse me, the Las Vegas Raiders. But if you want to check out your coverage, if people want to check out your coverage on the Las Vegas Raiders and the rest of the NFL, Ted, where can they follow you and check out the work you do?
You can follow me on Twitter at FB_film analysis, and I'm on The Athletic, and I cover the NFL. And like Bill said, I do focus on the Bay Area teams as well.
Awesome. Ted, you know, it's always a pleasure. You know, I love your work. One of the best in the business. Always happy to have you on the Bill Barnwell Show.
Love the pod, and thanks for having me on, Bill.
All right. Thanks so much, as always, to my guest, Ted Wynn. Excellent. Excellent football analysis from Ted. Strongly advise you check out everything Ted does at The Athletic. And thanks so much for listening, guys. Appreciate you subscribing. Hope you guys are doing well. I know it's been a very rough week in certain parts of the country. Hope you guys have power. Hope you guys are staying warm. Obviously, you know, this is very low stakes and very low on the importance scale, but hopefully, if you're listening, hopefully this is giving you something distracting, and hopefully something you can enjoy in a rough week for country. But thanks so much for listening, as always, and we'll have more football audio content coming next week.